It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, April 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. Today is the last day for public comment on the proposed environmental impact statement for the Bull Mountain Master Development Plan. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Master Development Plan looks at the impact from up to 146 oil and gas wells, 4 wastewater wells, and 36 well pads just north of Paonia. Shannon Borders is with the BLM.
What a master development essentially does is lets us look at the entire landscape. So while there's about 13,000 acres of federal mineral estate, there's also a private associated with these activities. So our analysis looks at the entire area and takes all of the resources into consideration as we look at a way to move forward with oil and gas development.
Included in the plan are 3 alternatives, 3 choices that the BLM may make.
Under alternative A, it's the no-action alternative, but that doesn't mean that development wouldn't occur. Essentially, what alternative A means is that development would be piecemeal. So that would mean that there would be up to 55 gas wells, 1 water disposal well, and 11 pads.
B would take into consideration the entire area, including the full 146 planned wells. Alternative C would be the same, but with some protections for wildlife taken. Borders says that the BLM is not using the comment period to gauge the opinion of residents nearby.
Many people don't understand is that we're looking for substantive comments that look at the analysis and tell us, have we done something wrong? Have we missed something? So that we can make sure that everything is analyzed. So we're really not asking for a vote, per se, as to which alternative to choose, but rather what help us make sure that we have taken a hard look at everything.
The website for the Bull Mountain Master Plan has all the documentation as well as the information on how to submit a comment. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The Delta Montrose Electric Association is a cooperative, meaning its customers are its owners. DMEA wants to hear what they think about its desire to purchase more locally produced energy and potentially entering the internet service game. KVNF's Laura Pomisano attended a membership forum DMEA held in Paonia Tuesday night.
2 months ago, DMEA filed a petition with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
Well, what we're asking FERC to rule on is to declare Tri-State a public utility, which would allow us then to enter into agreements with qualifying facilities.
That's DMEA CEO Jason Bronick. He gave a presentation at the Energy Cooperative's member forum Tuesday night in Paonia. Bronick says that right now, DMEA can only purchase 5% of its energy from providers other than Tri-State, an association that provides electric power to cooperatives in 4 states. However, DMEA might have found a way to get around that requirement.
Tri-State has currently bought out of all of their government debt with the rural utility services. Between the fact that they do not have any government debt and that they sell more than 400 million kilowatt hours under the rules, we feel that they are now a public utility that's jurisdictional by FERC.
Bronick says if FERC rules in DMEA's favor, the utility provider will be able to purchase more locally produced renewable energy. Tom Stevens, a DMEA customer, supports this effort.
For the good of the community, the membership, and just the environment, it's the thing to do.
The decision from FERC could come any day now. Additionally, broadband was another focus of the meeting. DMEA Chief Operating Manager Steve Matheny gave a presentation on the cooperative, potentially providing internet to its service area.
We have a lot of data that goes back and forth between our headquarters and our substations and our related facilities. We've replaced some of those lease lines with fiber optic cable. And with that fiber optic cable, we think that there's some additional capacity that we have that could be used by the community.
Matheny says DMEA has hired a consulting firm to help it analyze what it would take for the cooperative to provide internet. Annette Chozik with the Delta County Library System hopes to see this happen.
Right now, we're having to pay a very high rate to have as high a speed broadband as we have in our libraries, but this will greatly expand our ability to serve our patrons and to do our business.
According to DMEA membership survey results presented at the meeting, nearly 90% of polled customers say high-speed internet is an important quality of life factor, and over half say they'd be interested in signing up for DMEA internet. Cooperative officials say they hope to hold membership forums like this one quarterly. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture just announced their tally of certified organic operations, and the number is larger than ever. Almost 20,000 operations in the U.S. are certified, and the USDA has certified another 8,000 outside the country. It's the latest in a continuing trend of increasing numbers. The number of certifications has more than tripled since they started counting in 2002. In the KVNF listening area, there are about 50 certified USDA organic operations, ranging from beans to peaches to distilled spirits. Spruce beetles are continuing to wear away at Colorado forests. The U.S. Forest Service recently announced the sale of hundreds of acres of dead spruce forest for lumber harvest. To talk about the beetles' effect on Colorado, Jake Ryan talked to Tom Eager, an entomologist for the U.S. Forest Service. He says that these beetles aren't invasive species. They've evolved alongside the spruce tree and go through cycles of killing off the old, mature forests.
You know, this is a natural process. It's a regeneration process. But it appears to us, you know, humans having a lifespan of about 80 years or so, just seeing a little snapshot in time, as opposed to these 400-year cycles that the trees are going through with the beetles. So, yeah, we're just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time to see this.
There are restoration efforts underway to plant young spruce trees in the wake of logging. The beetles only go after mature trees. Despite the cooler temperatures today, warm spring weather is here. Bears are waking up in Colorado, and a lot of other big animals are on the move. Marilyn Stone recently posted on icchange.org that she noticed some deer and elk that still had on their antlers. She thought it seemed late, so we talked to Andrew Taylor, a district wildlife manager for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, who works out of Paonia. He says it's not too unusual to see antlers still, especially the smaller ones. Heavy antlers are the first to fall off. He also says that because of the mild winter we had, the deer and elk may not be as stressed and as starved for nutrients. Elk also usually keep their antlers for about 3 weeks longer than mule deer. If you've noticed something unusual, if you're seeing things change around you, check out icchange.org and let us know. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound with Tay. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.